Welcome once again to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane, and we're so glad you've joined us today.
We are. I'm Ryan Dobson. And Luann and Dad, we've got a great program for our listeners who are married and looking for ways to keep their marriage fresh, even with kids in the home. And as any parent will tell you, that's not always an easy task.
That's for sure.
Well, as a place to begin, Ryan and Luann, I want to walk through a little history. Family Talk began broadcasting as a ministry on May the 3rd, 2010. And 4 months after we began on September 2 and 3, we had some guests with us, two homeschoolers named Jay and Heidi St. John, mm-hmm. who talked about what they were doing at that time with their children and how that educational effort, homeschooling, has grown into a homeschooling support group for others. And it is continuing today. Mm-hmm. And we all just fell in love with this couple and invited them at that time to come back and talk about a related topic. And lo and behold, they're here today. Welcome, Jay and Heidi. We're so glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Now, you didn't come empty-handed today. You came with your 7 children, 6 of whom are being homeschooled.
That's right.
Some more than others. But and you've been traveling in an RV. And you don't look crazy enough to do that. 7 kids, including a 6-month-old new baby.
That's right.
Named Sailor.
Yes, that's right.
And that baby's been born since you were here.
That's right.
You've been busy.
We've been busy. I'm the busy homeschool mom.
Practicing what she preaches.
That's right.
And one of the reasons you're all traveling together is you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
At homeschool events.
Mm-hmm.
You're really serious about this homeschool thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
And have invested your lives in it. Now, let's, again, give a little background so people understand what we said last time. That was quite a while ago. Jay, you were a pastor.
Yeah.
And loved what you were doing, felt like the Lord had called you to do it.
Yeah.
But at one point, you saw that Heidi needed help with what she was doing at home and in this homeschools support group that mm-hmm. has the title of
First Class Homeschool Ministries.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing the need there and experiencing that in the church and also recognizing the opportunity that the church had to minister to these homeschooling families and then seeing the results that God was using to unite, encourage, build up, strengthen marriages, all these different things. It really opened my eyes up to a bigger paradigm, I guess, of what God could and is doing. And so I wanted to see that continue.
So you resigned and became a full-time homeschool dad helping with this ministry that you started,
yeah.
not knowing where the income was to come from. And it, I suppose, has come because you are still making it. You're still in that responsibility, right?
Yeah, God keeps taking care of us and blessing us, and He keeps opening doors and asking us to, you know, kind of stretch more and more as we walk with Him. It really is an incredible journey,
well,
and it's been an incredible blessing.
Is that God is trustworthy? He's never going to call you into something where He's not going to provide for
That's
you.
Right.
And this has been a great lesson, great opportunity for us to learn that firsthand.
Well, how do you have even another child to take care of? And you seem to be thriving. You look good.
Thank you.
And you've produced another child.
That's right.
Tell me if you are still coping with the responsibility of all those kids.
I'm coping fine. I always tell people that catch me every Thursday at around 2, and I'm not coping so great. But most of the time we're doing well. The older kids are a huge help to me.
Mm-hmm. So. You just came back from, was it Utah?
Mm-hmm.
At a homeschool.
Idaho. We came through Utah, too, but we were I was the keynote speaker at the Idaho State Convention.
And you spoke.
We spoke
4 days
that's
straight?
That's right. Well, we did it. We started with a marriage retreat. So we do a marriage retreat that's just specifically designed for homeschool couples with some friends of ours, Steve and Jane Lambert. And they've been in the homeschool movement since the 80s, and she's written a really popular curriculum. And the Lord hooked us up with them. They share our heart for nurturing homeschool marriages. So we do a marriage retreat designed for homeschool couples called Real Life Marriages, Homeschool Edition.
And your older children, well, one of them's 20, the other one's 18?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. And they are taking care of the children when you're gone.
Yeah. The children travel with us most of the time. So they help on the road with the kids, and everything we do is a team effort. And what's really neat, too, it's neat to talk to them because they will tell you that the Lord is doing something in their heart, too.
I've got to ask you, how do your kids get along in an RV like that? My wife, when she was four, her dad sold his dental practice, packed up mom, dad, dog, Laura, and three brothers, and put them on a 65-foot sailboat.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
For 2.5 years, sailed halfway around the world. So
wow.
They could never be further than 65 feet apart from each other. And I've asked Steve, and he said there were some knockdown dragouts early on. But all of, you know, after a while, you got to get along.
That's right.
They haven't seen most of them since.
You know what? They loved that trip. And all the brothers in their own way have recreated that for their own families.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They look back on that as one of the greatest times of their lives.
Well, the kids will tell you that they're just like any other kids. We always tell people, and just because you see us, you know, at homeschool conventions or you hear us on the radio doesn't mean we're any different than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So they have definitely had issues in the motorhome. But I will say that the Lord has done an amazing job of knitting their hearts together. Mm-hmm. There's nothing quite like traveling as a family to really, you know, it challenges you to just be patient. They're having to learn to put things away because there's not enough room for everybody. And they really love each other. We stopped, I don't know where we were the other day, somewhere in Utah. We stopped for lunch. And Savannah, who's our 20-year-old, got out and was playing like a little Nerf baseball with all the kids. And Jay and I just stood back and just drank it up because we're realizing we're coming to the end of having some of our kids at home. And so it was so fun to see her nurturing the younger ones and teaching them how to play. And for the most part, we really have loved it.
Well, let's get practical. With 9 people in an RV, what happens when it rains?
We stay in.
You know, here's the key to traveling in an RV. People ask us this all the time. It's organization. Everything. Yeah. I wish the RV was here and not over in the shop, because everything in there has a place. There's a shoe hanger that hangs on the wall, and everyone has their own little pocket, from pens and pencils to scissors or tape or cough drops. Everything goes somewhere. So it's usually neat and tidy, and that's the main thing.
And
that's
you're Heidi's, the organizer.
She is, isn't she? She's great at that. She always asks me, Jay, can we have this over here? And I'll go, well, let's see if we can design something. So I'll kind of make it up and make it happen.
Yeah.
But she's the one that has the, you know, the ideas of how to organize it.
It's amazing about him, because none of my great ideas would really go anywhere unless he implemented them. So it's good.
It's interesting to hear this. Laura and I have taken our own RV trip, and we've vacationed in some really, really small places.
Mm-hmm.
And you go minimal and realize, I didn't need all that stuff. I only need X amount to live on. And we've done long trips that way, and you come home and think, why do I have all this here?
That's right.
This is cluttering my space and wasting my time.
I know.
And it's great to experience that and then to come home and be able to organize more. And,
Or purge and not really realize you don't need it.
Mm-hmm. But the motorhome, it's like a pressure cooker of life. I mean, there's so much that happens there that is intense because you're all squished in there and you have to deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing is when you get through it, and if you deal with it and, you know, grow through it, when you look back on it, and this is what we've found, is that our kids really value it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but as Heidi was mentioning earlier, seeing how God works in the things that we're doing on the road, it puts in perspective how much, you know, the struggles that you have in the RV, God blesses and uses outside of it. It's incredible. I mean, our daughter Savannah, last year when Heidi was pregnant, we decided not to take a road trip. And Savannah was devastated because she thought that she wouldn't get a chance to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great testimony for Heidi and I to go, you know, you must be doing something right.
Sure you must know that we're talking to people right now, women especially, who have a cranky toddler and a baby and are saying, I cannot cope with this.
Yeah.
I cannot deal with it. And then they hear about you guys having 7 children and now a new baby, 6-month old, and somehow making it. You got some encouragement for that, Mom?
You know, I think it's just, it's taking every situation as it comes to you. And the Bible says not to grow weary in doing good. And I think that's where, as a mom, at least, I'm weary a lot. I won't lie to you.
Well, and you know? let me quote you here. In your bio, it says, when Heidi is not climbing Mount Everest, folding laundry, changing diapers, or washing dishes, she enjoys writing and trying new recipes she finds on the internet and encouraging other moms.
Yeah.
Do you think of yourself as a super mom?
No, I don't. People say that to me, but it's all you have to do is come into my house and ask any of my children. I'm not. There's nothing super about me. What's super about me is the Lord in my life, and I'm just a testimony. My life and Jay's life is just a living testimony to what the Lord can do. A lot of times, I mean, I'm so thankful that His mercies are new every morning, because I need them new every morning.
Yeah.
So these things are just. I mean, that's really what it is. It's just constant, and it's going back and being intentional with our kids.
How do you feel about people who come up and imply that you've got no right to bring that many children into the world? Do people still do that? Are they really insulting people like that who are implying you have no right to use up the world's resources at a faster rate?
We were just commenting about that driving across Montana, or Wyoming, traveling across Wyoming and seeing how huge it is and going, how can people complain about overcrowding?
Anyone, we always tell them, anyone who says, you know, oh, it's population overcrowding, we're like, you need to take a road trip across the United States because there is nothing but, you know, expansive, you know.
We got back from our RV trip and we said, there's emptiness everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I think people are wondering about. With seven kids and doing all that you're doing, homeschooling, how do you have time for each other? Because if you're trying to homeschool six of the seven and do conferences and speak and try new recipes and write books and go over curriculum, then in a way, a lot of people become partners, not husband and wife.
They're Ryan, you have just meandered into the topic for today's program, which we're just now getting to. And it deals with your book, Heidi, The Busy Homeschool Mom's Guide to Romance. Not just feeding all these kids and taking care of them and medicating them and protecting them from predators and everything else you have to do. It is about romance, nurturing your marriage through the homeschool years. And you wrote this book yourself and you published it yourself.
Yes.
And so it's really coming from your heart of the things that you've learned. But the nub of it is that it's not enough for you to nurture and care and feed and teach the love of the Lord to your children. But you got to maintain a meaningful relationship with Jay, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Bible is pretty clear that the marriage is the priority relationship in the home. And so if we start to focus on the children to the neglect of our marriages, then we will have lost the opportunity that homeschooling even provides. And we've seen dozens upon dozens of homeschool marriages fail over the last 15 years because the moms in particular, the dads tend to be disconnected from what the mom is doing. And she's pouring so much of herself into her children that at the end of the day, she has nothing left for her husband.
Well, doctor, it's that mother you were just describing that has the toddler and the baby, and she's overwhelmed just with two children.
Yeah.
And now we've just said, on top of that, maintain a nice romantic relationship, a healthy relationship with your husband. There's no way she can understand all of that.
Yeah. Well, I think so much of it is just simple things. And we talked about this when I was in Idaho this last week, because I talk to moms all the time who are home with little ones. And I tell them, you're at the toughest spot. The mom with an infant and a toddler, that's when it's the most difficult. And if you can take just a little time, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be putting the kids to bed early and just setting out a special dinner for you and your husband. I used to do that for Jay. You know, we used to put a picnic lunch on anywhere where the kids weren't. That's where I would lay out a picnic lunch on the floor and we would talk about our day. And he, you know, Jay and I both have made an intentional effort to nurture our marriage, and particularly through the homeschool years, because especially for me, and I know you've read about this, but I come from a long line of divorce in my family, and I didn't want that to happen to me.
I think one of the keys you just said is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dealing that in our life. We get busier and busier. I'm doing 10 radio programs a week, and I'm traveling with my dad. I'm doing all these things. And on our last trip, I just sat down one night. Everybody was asleep. and I wrote down things that are important to me. And I thought, man, if I say that my relationship with Laura is important, mm-hmm. where are the active mm-hmm. steps I'm yes. taking yeah. to make sure that this is going to remain a priority?
Yes.
It can't
mm-hmm.
just be a want. There's mm-hmm. got to be the follow through. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so every day now, before I leave for work, we sit down. It's 15 minutes. Lincoln's yep. got to have alone time and do something else, because I got to figure out, we got to stay on the same page.
Yeah.
Where
mm-hmm.
are you at? What do you need?
Yeah.
What do I need? How do we work together?
How can I do better?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And yet, Heidi, when you just said, you know, after the kids are in bed, I sit down with Jay, mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, as a mother, I often go, well, that's when I begin all of those chores that have piled up all day.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're in bed, then I'm going to attack the laundry, the dishes, mm-hmm. the bills, and all those other things,
mm-hmm.
those tasks mm-hmm. that are important and are on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many of us have a hard time juggling
oh, yeah.
that and saying, okay, I will put off those things, because quite honestly, those kids need clean socks when they get up
yeah,
in the morning.
They do.
It's not just the extra things. It's the actual basics that I am to provide for.
Yeah.
And to shut that off and say, I'm going to intentionally turn to Steve right now can be very difficult.
It's very difficult. But I like to challenge moms, it's more important than clean socks. I mean, if at the end of the day I have to choose between running a load of laundry mm-hmm. or if cleaning the kitchen, which Jay will tell you, that's my big pet peeve. I don't like to go to bed with the kitchen
yeah.
dirty because
yeah.
I don't like to start the next day that way. And there have been many times when Jay, I can just tell by the look in his eyes, he's more important than the dishes. So the dishes need to wait. And sometimes it's just coming, you know, sitting down with him and saying, talk to me. How are we doing? And I always tell women, ask the tough questions. You have to ask the tough questions. The reason we don't ask our husband tough questions is, frankly, it's because we're afraid of the answer.
Like what? What do you
because
mean by
if
a
I,
tough question?
Well, I'll just dive into some kind of personal subjects. I talk to women, and I've probably met 15 of them face-to-face at Night of the Last Week, and whose husbands are deep into pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's so much. It's so accessible now because of the internet. And they're afraid to ask mm-hmm. because if they ask him, are you struggling in this area of your life? Then they're going to have to deal with the ramifications of his answer, because what if he says yes? If I sit down with Jay and I say, am I meeting your needs? And he says no to me, then I need to be able to stand up under that criticism or under that need that he has that I'm not meeting. And sometimes I'm feeling like, oh, I'm going to put one more thing on me, and I'm already mm-hmm. so overtaxed and overburdened. And so for Jay and I, for the last, we've been married almost 23 years, we've made a really intentional point of asking each other. He'll say to me, Heidi, I need more time with you. I wrote about it in the book. I miss you. That's what he said to me. I miss you. And mm-hmm. I said, I'll never forget it. I was looking at him over coffee, and I was like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You miss me. I'm a virtual prisoner in our home. You come home from work. I've got dinners in the crock pot. I, you know, and I don't have time. I can't, you know, be at your beck and call.
Are you a high-energy person?
I think some – yeah, it just depends on what's going on in my life. I tend to be able to handle a lot, and I've always been like that. I think you can tell what a kid is gifted like when they're younger, and I was like in student government and the student body president and doing all these things. And so to transition from that into having a lot of kids, and there were 7 kids in my family.
Hmm.
So I'm used to a larger family dynamic, but I also saw my parents' marriage fall apart. And so I've been very, very careful. I mean, Jay and I, we hit some rough spots in our marriage.
You talked about pornography. Mm-hmm. I am more and more convinced that that is the big marriage killer.
Oh, it is.
I'm telling you, it is. It is in the church. It's in the clergy. It's in the so-called good family,
mm-hmm.
the one you would never have expected.
We talk about this yeah. on the road when we do these
and
marriage
And people
things.
Admit it to
yeah,
you, don't they?
That's right. Well, and what's shocking to us is that – and we actually – I'll tell – people right up front, we quite often have the men and women split up so we can get more, you know, to the point. And when I'm with the guys, so often, you know, somebody will be a pastor or an elder, and he'll talk about, you know, the things he does in his home, and it's very intimidating because everyone else is like, wow, I don't do all that. And then afterwards, Heidi and I will, you know, touch base and how, you know, see how it went, and we'll share notes, and she'll say, wow, this lady came up and she's just, you know, her marriage is falling apart. Well, it turns out it's the guy who says he has it all together
mm-hmm.
because he's so good at putting up a facade.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we start our workshops, we just tell everyone, look, facades have got to come off. We got to just be honest with one another. We call our program Real Life Homeschooling Marriage Retreats because we want people to be real about life
mm-hmm.
and to deal with it with real terms and to face the music that, as Heidi mentioned earlier, that we're afraid to bring up and discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to do it. Otherwise, it will never get better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you said this earlier, Heidi, it's worth it. That your relationship with Jay is worth more than a clean kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Or clean socks or some of those things. And as much as you don't want to start your day with a dirty kitchen, it's not going anywhere.
No.
You know? But the last thing you want is for Jay to go somewhere.
That's right.
And the last thing Jay wants is for you to go somewhere. Yeah. And having that connection time is important.
Well, absolutely. I think I read in something, Heidi, that you wrote that when Jay comes home, that's mommy and daddy's time.
That's right.
And that the kids get involved in other things. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And it doesn't take much. You know, a lot of women have said to me, you know, I don't have time. I'll have a half an hour when he comes home. It doesn't have to be half an hour. Sometimes it's only 10 minutes, but it's just mm-hmm. me looking him in the eye and saying, how was your day? You know, and him talking to me about my day and how it went. And we're connecting with each other because I want him to know that it matters to me. You know, what his day has been like, what kinds of things he's facing at work. And the same with him, because he'll come home from work. He knows I've been locked up with little people all day long. So he's there to encourage me and to listen. I think so much of it is just listening to each other. And it also gives us opportunity, especially if I'm having issues with the kids that I need his help with, that I can say, look, I had this issue with so-and-so today, and I really need your wisdom and need you to go and spend some time with whichever child that is. And it helps me kind of share the burden of responsibility for the parenting with him, and knowing that he's interested, it buoys me. You know, dads ask all the time, you know, how can we get more involved with our wives who are homeschooling? And I always tell him, it doesn't take much. She just wants to know you love her.
That's right.
She just wants to know that you think she's doing a great job to come alongside her and just say, thank you for the sacrifice you're making, staying home and nurturing our children in the ways of the Lord.
Those parenting classes that you provide, they get pretty intimate, don't they?
They do.
And you talk to them about sex
Absolutely.
And about how you can homeschool your kids and still have a physical relationship as a husband and wife. And what are you hearing back? What are people saying to you?
Well, actually, we're hearing a lot of moms who are just saying, thank you for telling me. I forgot. You know, I forgot that this was so important. And a lot of times we're giving them practical solutions. We're telling them, be intentional. You know, don't make your bedtime every night 1 a.m. when you're so exhausted you can't even hold your eyes open. You know, really talk to your husband and make that a priority in relationship. We all got married, and that was a huge part of it, right? That factored into it. I told the women last weekend, there was a time in which you were trying to get your husband's attention, right? You wanted his attention. You were flirting with him. You drew him into a specific part of your life. You had, and when you got married, had a wonderful intimate relationship with him, and then the years go by and the mortgage payments start and the children come and that part of our relationship, which was so precious and so sacred, gets pushed to the back burner. And we've got men who are feeling neglected by their wives in this area, and I always tell them, if you're homeschooling or parenting for that matter to the detriment of your marriage, you're blowing it. Because if you miss the opportunity that God's given you to nurture your marriage and love your husband, and your marriage falls apart, then you've just set the bar for your kids for the next generation, and that's what it becomes about.
Jay, you must appreciate this lady.
Oh, absolutely. She's amazing.
She is dedicated to her family 100%.
That's right.
And that's what drives you.
It is.
Isn't it?
Well, Dad and I we've experienced so much pain. I in particular, and Jay also, but experienced so much pain in my family with the divorce of my parents. And there are 7 siblings, four of whom.
It was bitter, wasn't it?
It was very bitter. It continues to be very bitter. And my 4 of the 7 siblings in my family are divorced.
Oh,
and so
goodness.
I see it a lot. And it's not just the thing that breaks my heart about it is that parents, we're missing the big picture. Because the enemy, and I tell this to moms all the time, if he can take out your marriage, he's got a clear shot at your kids. He's got a clear shot, and we don't recognize that we're the defense. We are the family is the front line against this enemy who wants to take out these marriages. And then he's got a great shot at a 14-year-old kid who's just starting to make life-altering decisions. And so we miss the big picture, and that's kind of why we're so passionate about it.
Well, our time is gone, but the topic is not exhausted because there is so much to talk about here, and it is such practical
really
stuff,
is.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Not just for homeschoolers, Doctor,
yeah,
but for all
right.
of us who
that's
are parents.
Right. Absolutely. The title of the book is The Busy Homeschool Mom's Guide to Romance, Nurturing Your Marriage Through the Homeschool Years, because there are some danger points in doing this and educating your children at home, and you have to learn how to cope with it. Our time is gone, as I said, but let's ask you to come back next time, and we're going to pick up right here. And boy, do I have some good questions to ask you.
All right.
It's a pleasure having you back
with us.
Thanks for
having
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Jay and Heidi St. John here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And if any of you are interested in having them speak at a church or a homeschool event, we have information on how to reach them at drjamesdobson.org. If you'd like, you can also request Heidi's book at drjamesdobson.org, or when you call, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. And when you're on the line, ask about becoming a monthly supporter of Family Talk. These summer months are very lean for all ministries, and it's true for Family Talk. And so whatever you can give would be greatly appreciated by all of us here. Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to join us again next time as we continue our conversation with Jay and Heidi St. John right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.